the question on Rava, why don't we say the world of Hispashtus in Kedushin, as we have such a world in the world in the realm of Hekdesh? And the Gemara answered that in Kedushin we have Da'as Acheres, and we saw two Perushim of Da'as Acheres. One was Rashi, that Da'as Acheres means that we have a woman in the picture. Her Ratzon is important, and she agreed on Chetziach, and she didn't agree beyond that, and Zehu, as opposed to Hekdesh, where there is no Da'as Acheres. And the other Perush was quoted by the Kilas Yaakov, that the it's not a question of the woman, it's a question of Kedushin. Kedushin by its nature has not only aspects of Iser but also of Kinyan, and perhaps Hispashtus only works when you have a world of Iser, pure Iser, like the world of Hekdesh. Mashenken, when you move over to the world of Kinyan, there Hispashtus is not a relevant halacha. And we pointed out, nafgamina would be, what if the woman would be happy to be totally married? So then Rashi's Da'as Acheres would fall off, but the Da'as Acheres of the Kilas Yaakov would remain. We'll see this has relevance to the Ksuga and Dasayin Amid Beis as well. So the Gemara said that if we want to compare a case to the world of Kedushin, we would compare the case of Behema Shel Shnei Shutfim, in which one Shutaf was Makdish. So there, again, according to Rashi, the second Shutaf is the Da'as Acheres. He blocks the Hispashtus. According to the Kilas Yaakov, the moment that we have a Ba'alut Kinyanit of another, that's already enough to break Hispashtus. Hispashtus can only work when there is no need to relate to the world of Mamanos, to the world of Kinyanim, only the world of Iser. And again, the Nafgamina would be, if the second Shutaf were to be happy, that the entire animal would be Hekdesh. So then Rashi's Da'as Acheres would fall off, but the fact that we need to take into account the Kinyanim of the second Shutaf, that would still be a problem according to the Kilas Yaakov. Then Rav Yochanan, then the Gemara summarizes Rav Yochanan, his halacha in the world of Shnei Shutfim, that in the world of Shnei Shutfim, where it became half Hekdesh and then fully Hekdesh, so Kedosha Veina Kreva Va'osa Tmura Tmurasa Kayotzebo Shma Mina Tlos. That we have over here three conclusions we can draw in terms of the Shita of Rav Yochanan. Shma mina barichayim nitchim, shma mina dichui meikara havedichui, shma mina yesh dichui bedamim. That we have three machlokot, and Rav Yochanan is expressing his opinion in each of these three machlokot in the world of Shnei Shutafim. So let's go through these three machlokot, these three realms. One is the realm of barichayim. So Rashi already quotes the Gemara. I photostated it for you in Yuma, where we have a machlokes between Rav and Rav Yochanan, where the Gemara quotes Rav Savar Balei Chayim Eina Nitchin, Rav Yochanan, as he points out by us, Savar Balei Chayim Nitchin. What is the source of the machlokes? The Gemara over there points out that Rav holds Yodif Mi Baal Mum Over, that we have an animal which has a temporary blemish. Ba'amum over laf afal gavdalo chazi hashta ki hadar mechzi shapir dame. We say that the fact that we had the mum, once the blemish heals, then the animal can be brought as a korban. So kanere ba'alei chayim eina nitchim. Hachinami lo shna. And how do we know the din that a mum over is only temporary? Dichsiv ki mashchasam bahem mum bam. Mum bum hu d'lo yeratzu, only as long as the blemish is there, then it's a problem. Ha'avar mumon yeratzu, that we know that's the halacha, that if an animal has a scratch, we don't bring it as a korban, but when the scratch heals, we do bring it. So you see, bali chayim einam nitchim. V'rav Yochanan mi yet rachmana bahem, heim hu d'chi avar mumon yeratzu, ha'kol d'chu yin ha'ova nitchu, that's an exception. That mum is an exception to the rule. But the rule in general is that had there been another psul, not a psul of a mum over, had there been another psul, then we would have said Bali Chayim Nitchim. So the question over here is how to understand the machlokes as to whether Bali Chayim Nitchim or Einan nitchim. What is the uniqueness of Balei Chayim in the realm of Kodshim that we would say that perhaps over here, even, again, the assumption is that we have a rule of dichui, that once the animal is nishchat, certainly we have a principle of dichui, that once when the animal is nishchat and there's a psul, there's no way of even after the psul is over bringing it as a korban. But by a Baal Chai, there we have a machlokas. Why should Baal Chai be unique in the world of Kodshim? What do you say? What would be a direction to think about why we would say perhaps that Balei Chayim nidchim? Again, in other words, whether mum over is an exception or it's a rule, that's on the level of Gzeras HaKosef. But maybe we can flesh out a machlokas over here, which would be beyond the Gzeras HaKosef, which maybe would have relevance to other areas as well. Why would Baal Chai in the world of Kodshim be unique? Again, the given is that we have a din of dichui in Kodshim. Where would you look for to think about Baal Chai being unique? So, l'chaora, it could be in the world of Kodshim, that somehow in the world of Kodshim, Baal Chai may be unique, or it could be in the world of Baal Chai itself. Let's take the two possibilities. Let's take first in the world of Kodshim. So I think that you would appreciate the mashal that Rav Uchtenstein gave when he learned the sugya in a different context, and that is that in the world of baseball, you have a pitcher who is called in to go to the bullpen and to warm up, and then at a certain point, when he has warmed up enough and the previous pitcher has messed up enough, then he's brought in to be on the field. So at what point would you call this pitcher as being in the game? When he is in the bullpen warming up, or only when he actually gets to the mound? So that could be the machlokes, whether Baal Chayim are nitchim or not. Namely, the world of Baal Chai pre-shchita, you're in the bullpen. The animal is, well, no puns intended, right? The animal doesn't have to be a bull. But the that's what it's called, no? Where the pitcher warms up, right? It's called the bullpen for some reason. Okay, I don't know why, but it's called the bullpen. Okay, never thought about it really. There's a cage generally, right? That the ball should hit a wall, you know, at some point. So the question is, when the animal is in the bullpen, is it considered to be in the game? So over here, when the animal is a Baal Chai, it's pre-shchita. When it's nishchat, then it's on the mound, then it's on the playing field. Then there's no question that it's part of the game. The question is, when it's in the bullpen, is it part of the game? So we have a din that Kodshim, there's a din of dichli. From when is an animal part of the world of Kodshim? Is it only part of the world of Kodshim when it's nishchat? From then onwards, then it's in the world of Kodshim, then we said there's a din of dichli. Or even when it's in the bullpen, even when it's still chai, before it's nishchat, is that already considered to be part of the world of Kodshim? That would be one way of interpreting it. And then this would have relevance to other realms as well. Let's say, for example, you saw that the world of Dichui is also brought in Gemara and Sukkah in the world of mitzvos, like by Arba Minim. So let's say you have a Hadas, which is Niktam Rosho. It's Niktam Rosho when you cut off the top on Erev Yontif. And let's say it grows back, Timra, it grows back Erev Yontif, Niktam Rosho, and it all grows back on Erev Yontif. Is that considered to be an issue of Dichui? On Yontif, clearly we have a Chefsa Shel Mitzvah. What about Erev Yontif? Maybe Erev Yontif for a Hadas is like an animal which is in the bullpen, which is still alive before it's Nishchat. Namely, that's our issue. At what point is it part of the world of Mitzvah? Maybe it's only part of the world of Mitzvah when it's Sukkos. Or maybe if it was set aside, or certainly, let's say it was Ne'egad, it was already tied in to the Arba Minim, Erev Yontif, maybe then already it's in the world of Mitzvah. In other words, we would have a similar issue in other realms as well. When is something considered to be in that realm? When is it Kodshim? When is it Arba Minim, etc.? That could be one issue. Or it could be a question nothing to do with the world of Kodshim, and nothing to do, of course, with the world of Lulav and Esrog, but maybe in the world of Baal Chai. We know that living creatures have unique halachos. Like, for example, a living creature, Baal Chai, cannot be Mekabel Tumah. An animal, when it's alive, can never be Mekabel Tumah. Human being is different. Human being is an exception. But the world of Baal Chayim, the world of animals, they're not Mekabel Tumah. Or, you have in front of you Gemara and Kedushim. So if you just move to Daf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph in the Gemara, to the very, very bottom line, or next to the last line towards the end, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and this is our Rav Yochanan, Lo Matzinu Ba'alei Chayim She'asurim. We don't find that living animals are Aser Bahana'a. Iser Hana'a is on things that are already shechted, that are dead. They can be Aser Bahana'a. A living animal is not Aser Bahana'a. The Gemara asks, don't we have a din of Egla Arufa? Oh, Egla Arufa is an exception. But generally, a living animal is not Mekabel Tumah. A living animal is not Aser B'Hana'ah. You can't use a living animal as a machitza, even though it serves as a block. But in terms of, you can't, if a sukkah needs four walls, you can't have an animal as one of the walls, even if it's tied up, etc. It's simply, Baal Chai is not a machitza. And so maybe also a Baal Chai, there's no din of dichui. Maybe it's a din which is unique to Baal Chai. It has nothing to do with bullpens and playing fields. Nothing to do with the world of Kachim, when it enters in or not. But maybe Baal Chai is a category, it is a category in and of itself. Maybe just as a Baal Chai cannot be Mekabel Tumah, and a Baal Chai cannot be Be'asar Bahana, and a Baal Chai can't be used for a Mechitza, a Baal Chai is Eino Nitcha. So that's an open question, okay, as to what is the reason, but Rabbi Yochanan clearly holds Baal Chai, that a Baal Chai is Nitcha. Okay, that's A. Secondly, Shma Mina Dichui Meikara Have Dichui. So again, this is also a Machlokas. Rashi quotes the Machlokas in Sukkah Andaf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis, where you have a situation where Niktam Rosho on Erev Yontif, and then Ola Timra on Yontif, is this an issue of Dichui? Maybe this is Dichui Meikara. What over here is the Machlokas? If you say that Dichui Meikara Lo Have Dichui, what are you basically saying about the nature of Dichui? What positive criteria do you require for dichui? If we say dichui meikara, lo have dichui.
It can't be dichui until they actually entered into the plane.
Yeah, but more than that. But in terms of dichui, what actively do we need? We need a psul. We need a psul, an active psul, to enter into the picture to apply the din of dichui. If we hold that there's a concept of dichui meikara, you don't need a psul. What do you need? Simply passively, a lack of hechsher. Namely, the question is, what are we going to build the world of dichi on? Do we need a positive psul? That a positive psul, we say, once we have this positive psul, its impact never goes away? Or do we say, no, you don't need a positive psul, all we require is a lack of hechsher. It didn't start off right. If it doesn't start off right, it never got off the ground, that's also going to leave an impact. Okay, that's the question of dichui, is dichui meikara? Dichui meikara, there's no positive psul, just never got off the ground in terms of being kosher. Is that considered to also leave an impact or not? So that's over here is the machlokas. And Rav Yochanan holds in the first realm, in the Balei Chayim and Nitchim, and in the second realm he holds that dichui meikara, the lack of a hechsher to begin with, is also considered to be leaving an impact. It's also going to be have dichui. You don't need a positive psul. And then the Gemara says, "Ushma mina yesh dichui bedamim." Here, to understand what is going on, we just have to read Rashi. Rashi says, "Yesh dichui bedamim, yesh toras dichui bedavar she'eno kadosh ela ledamav kgonze shemitchila lo hikdisha ela." Lidameha shetimacher viyakadshu demei chetzia sheharei likarev rachatzain lo hayisareuya va'af afilu hachi cholal ha'toras dichui litchot me'ahamizbeach lo'olam v'lo amrinan ein dichui ela bedavar sheukdash gufo likarev. Namely, what Rashi over here, my humble opinion, is pointing out, I'm well aware that there's a tremendous machlokes achronim in terms of what Rashi meant, and Rabbi Bednarsh and his Mar Makomo sent those who wanted to look to a long letter of the Griz in the back of the Chidushi, a Griz, Daf Ayin Chesem and Aleph, if not mistaken, Ayin Chesem and Beis. But I think that Rashi is quite clear, and this is the way the Griz actually does learn, is that we're all aware that there are two types of Hekdesh. There's Hekdesh Lamizbeach and Hekdesh Berekabayit. That there is a realm of Korbanos, and then there's a realm of the treasury of Hekdesh. If I'm Makdish a book, so it goes to the treasury of Hekdesh. I can be poda it and give money instead. But that's an object that belongs to Hekdesh. But if I say on an animal, Harezu Ola, then this animal is Miyuad, it's headed for the Mizbeach. And these are two separate realms. We pointed out that in the realm of Hekdesh Mizbeach, we start with the world of Iser, and then Hekdesh has certain kinyanim. Mashen Ken, in the realm of Vedekabaya, we start with kinyan. It belongs to Hekdesh in terms of its mamonos, and then we have an Iser of Me'ila that stems from that. And we're starting with two different points. We spoke about this within Tosfos in terms of the world of Erusin and the world of Harei Mekudesh, that we have, it depends where you're starting off from. But what Rashi is Mechadish to us is that within the world of Kodshei Mizbeach, we have two tracks. The obvious track of Kodshei Mizbeach is when the animal was meant to for Hakrava. The animal was Miyuad, it is destined to be Nikrev. That's what Rashi calls, in other words, bedavar shehukdash legufo likarev. That's the ideal. But then we also, according to Rashi, have another track of kodshim domav lehakrava, that I mekadesh the value of this animal, that I plan to sell the animal, I'm going to bepode the animal, and then with the money, I'm going to bring a korban that's going to be brought on the mizbeach. That is a track in and of itself. And that's the machlokas. Is there a din of dichui in that track of damav? In other words, where I have not, I don't have the kedushas haguf that the animal is going to be brought as a korban. I have damim lamizbeach, that the value of the animal is going to be used as a korban. The question is, in the case of guf or lamizbeach boror, there's a din of dichui. That's the classic dichui. Is there also a din of dichui in the world of damav la mizbeach? Similar to the question of the Baal Chai, namely, is this in the bullpen? Do we view it as though it's a track towards kodshim, or do we say that it's a separate entity? It's like kodshei bedekabayis, has nothing to do with the world of mizbeach. In other words, we're not going to this animal is not going to be brought on the mizbeach. The money is going to be used to buy an animal. It's like once, twice removed from the world of Mizbeach, and then there would be no din of dichui. That's the issue over here. So I just sent you, I photostated it, to a Rashi and a Ramban in Gittin, where we have a similar issue. Where a person is mekadesh tmimim lebedekabayit. Namely, I have an animal which is without a mum, but instead of bringing it as a korban, I say, I want this animal to belong to Hekdesh. Hekdesh can do with it what they want. And we have a rule that when an animal without a blemish gets to the world of Hekdesh, what are they going to do with it? They're going to bring it on the Mizbeach. It's going to be brought as a korban, what we call the ketz ha-mizbeach. That when other animals are not being brought on the mizbeach, this is going to be brought on the mizbeach to keep the mizbeach busy, to keep the avoda going currently. So Rashi points out over there in Gittin, the Ramban quotes Rashi, matfis tmimim lebedekabayit, ein yotzim midei mizbeach. That automatically, when this is given to Hekdesh, it automatically is turned into a korban. There's no need for it to be sold and then with the money buy a korban. It automatically goes to a korban. And the Ramban disagrees. He says that's not true. Midoraisa lo chayolayu kedusha saguf. There's no kedusha saguf on this animal. And he points out, Podin Osan Miyad Hekdesh Berekabayet Likariv Al Gabe HaMizbeach, that these animals are basically given to the treasury, and then they're put on auction, and the money that is paid to redeem them, that money then goes to buy a korban. And this korban is not coming from the original owner, this korban is coming from Hekdesh. And if we have a third party who is going to redeem him, there is a point of time when they're actually chulin. But immediately Hekdesh says, no, 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 we're going to buy it back. Since originally it was given to Hekdesh, it's going to end up on the Mizbeach. But again, the question is a parallel question. In other words, do we view these tmimim lebedek habayis as already in the shoot, in the realm of Hekdesh, that they're already in the ball game? They're already, it's just a question of technicalities of getting them to the Mizbeach? Or do we say no, that this is a totally different realm? This is a realm of Dine Mamanos. We have to be poda it, and then Hekdesh itself is now going to come and repurchase them as korbanos. Right? In other words, that this is our issue of Yesh Hekdesh L'damim. To what degree Damav L'Mizbeach is considered to be gufo, is considered to be a part of a process of moving towards gufo. Okay? So Rav Yochanan held that in all of these cases, the Balei Chayim are nitchim. We don't say that Balei Chayim are unique, and we lehefek, we say this is part of the ball game, that it's already in the direction. The Rav Yochanan holds even dichui meikar, there's no need for a positive psul, as even if it wasn't kosher lechatchila, that leaves its impact, and we use the din of dichui. And Rav Yochanan holds yesh dichui bedamim, that even if it was not originally slated for the mizbeach, but its value was slated, that's already enough to be considered to be in the realm of kachim, and we apply the din of dichui. Okay, and here we have a Tosfos. This Tosfos looks long, but it is really, if we break it down into components, it's really not a difficult, my humble opinion, not a difficult Tosfos. That what Tosfos does first, he quotes Rashi. Okay, so that takes a good fifth of Tosfos, and then what he asks on Rashi is that lechora these three realms are really two, namely that the realm of dichui meikara and the realm of damim, dichui ledamim, are one and the same. That every dichui meikara is going to create a realm of kedushas damim, and every realm of kedushas damim is dichui meikara. Why call these two different realms that they are basically one? That there's no way of coming to any hechetimtza of dichui meikara which goes beyond kedushas damim. Had it been kedushas haguf, then it would be roi lahakrava. If it's ain't a roi lahakrava, then what we call dichui meikara, that's kedushas damim. And every kedushas damim is going to be dichui meikara. So why call these two realms? So what Tosa simply does is find two kimtos. The first one is relatively simple for him to find, and that is, what if we have an individual who is oved avodah zarah, who is mafrish a korban on one of the chatoim he did? Namely, he ate chelev. He ate chelev b'shogeg. So he has to be mafrish a korban chatos. So he's mafrish the korban chatos. And then he's chozer b'tshuva. And the question is, can he bring this korban chatos? So over here, we have no kedushas damim. This, from the beginning, is kedushas haguf. It's kedushas haguf. It's a dichui meikara, but it's kedushas haguf, which is pasul, that can't be brought by an oved avodah zarah. Even though a goy can bring a korban, but an oved avodah zarah, a Jew, oved avodah zarah is worse than a goy. A Jew's oved avodah zarah can't bring a korban. So here we have a case of dichui meikara in a realm of kedushas haguf. There's no kedushas damim over here. Okay, that was a simple one. And the other one, in terms of can we have kedushas damim without a dichui meikara, so he brings in the world of korban pesach. Korban pesach has to be a zachar. What happens if someone is makdish a nekeva for a korban pesach? So here we passing that the nekeva has to be sold, and will buy a zachar with its money. So that's a case of dichui meikara, and it's a case of kedushas damim. But a nekeva has an advantage. It can give birth to a calf. So what if this nekeva, which had been hukdash as the Korban Pesach, now gave birth to a calf. So this calf inherited the tkunot, the characteristics of the mother. So what was the characteristic of the mother? The mother was kedushas domim lamizbeach. We couldn't bring the mother as a korban. We would have to sell it and use the money. So l'chora, the vlad inherited this kedushas domim lamizbeach. But on the level of the vlad, there is no it's not a case of dichui meikara, that the dichui began much earlier with the mother. So we have a situation where we have kedushas domim lamizbeach, which is not dichui meikara. What is the din of that blood? Can it be brought as a korban? It's a machokes tanoim, machokes rabbanon, and Rabbi Shimon. But the point over here is that we can distinguish between the world of dichui meikara and the world of dichui ledamim. That's basically how Tosus answered his question. Why does the Gemara quote three realms if realm number 2 and 3 are the same? So he gave a case of the Oved Avodah Zarah where we can have dichui meikara without having kedushas damim, and he gave a case where you can have, from the case of the vlad of a korban pesach, where you can have a kedushas damim without a dichui meikara. Then Tosus simply asks, why in the world does it say that we learn out from Rav Yochanan these three dinim? These three dinim are learned out all from a Mishnah in Psachim. These are Tanoim who say these three dinim. So he answers very simply because we have machlokot as to whether that Mishnah is halacha lemaisa. We saw already that Rav disagreed with Rav Yochanan, and within the Mishnah we also have Rav Elazar, Rav Oshia. We have other opinions, and that's why they brought Rav Yochanan. Then Tosus was bothered. Tosus says, well, there is a girsa that would solve the problem in another manner. You don't need three. In other words, because really there are only two realms, that the third realm is Ba'alei Chayim, the world of Kedushas Damim. There's a girsa of Kedushas Damim, not doche, not yesh dichui b'damim, but kedusha b'damim madche, that it relates to the world of tmura, that the word that tmura is the issue over here, that the tmura is going to be kayotzebo in the world of dichui b'damim. And Tosus points out that that can't be the girsa, because that would be fine in the world of behemos, where there is tmura, but this third principle applies also to the world of ophos, to the world of the ashir, who set aside a korban ola v'yored of an oaf, and then he became poor, and we want to apply the din of dichli over there as well, and there's no din of tmura by ofos. So you can't give a girsa that's only going to help you by behemos, and not going to help you by ofos. And finally, in other words, Tosus moves over to the world of the cheshbonos within the sugya, and points out that again that the Tanam are dealing with different situations. Rav Oshia is talking about ophos, Rabbanan and Rav Shimon are talking about behemos, and in terms of the world of domim, yesh domim, so the world of domim only applies to an area where we have pidyon. Only by behemos do we find pidyon. By ophos there is no pidyon, and therefore the Gemara distinguishes between the sugyos. We won't get involved in the details, but that's what Tosus is talking about. What's important for us, my humble opinion, is to understand what are the basic machlokos in the world of Ba'alei Chayim, what's the basic issue of dichui meikara, and what is the basic issue of the world of dichui bedamim. That these are three separate issues, and therefore we need a Shema Minah in each of them. Okay, the Gemara then moves over to Rava, Boi Rava, the second line. Chetziach b'chatzi pruta v'chetziach b'chatzi pruta mahu. Kevan do amar lo chatzi pruta paska. And then we move over into the realm of chatzi isha. Odilma moneva holechu, and we can create an isha shlema. When we add a half and a half, you get to one. And so it's not a problem being mekadesh chatzi isha. Im timtzi lomar monev aholechu, that we have the right to add, chetzich bepruta v'chetzich bepruta mahu, kevon damar bepruta upruta paska lemilsa, that there is no need to add. It stands independently, and so maybe this is a case of chatzi isha, odilma kol biyomei monev aholech, even though there's no need to add, but we have the ability to add. Im timtzi lomar kol biyomei monev aholechu, chetzich bepruta hayom v'chetzich bepruta lemachar mahu, Kevin Damar Lamachar Paska, already, even if we can add, but there is an upper limit on adding only the same day, and therefore you can't combine half a woman today and half a woman tomorrow. Odil Machi Ka'amar La Kedushin Matku Ha'idna Umigmar La Nigmaru Ad Machar. Who says that the Kedushin can only be within a 24-hour period? Maybe we can have Kedushin that begins today and continues tomorrow, and we can have a Monev Aholech even from day to day. And the fourth case, Shnei Chetzich Bepruta Mahu. Hacha Vadei Bechad Zimna Ka'amar. Here, it's a no call, that there's no problem. Certainly, you can add things that are simultaneous, and therefore we have an entire Isha. Odilma Ein Isha Mitkadesh Ad Chatzayin Klal. Or maybe even in a world of simultaneity, you can't add half and half, and it doesn't get off the ground, teku. Okay? Here you saw a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid. So I photostated for you the Rambam and the Ravid, in which the Rambam distinguishes between the first two cases, where he paskins that mekudeshet vadai, and the latter two cases, where he paskins that we have a suffix. Amar la hare chetzech mekudash li bepruta v'chetzech bepruta. O amar la hare chetzech mekudash li b'chatzi pruta v'chetzech b'chatzi pruta. The first two cases, hareza mekudashet. Amar la chetzech mekudash li bepruta hayom v'chetzech memachar or shne chetzech bepruta, etc., etc. Then, kol elu mitkachos b'safek. Rambam distinguishes in the Gemara. Now, the Rambam fits into the Gemara beautifully, technically. Because we know that there is a shita of the Gaonim, that any time the Gemara says, im timtzi lomar, any time that we have a suffix, and the Gemara gives us an ability to work with one side of the suffix, that's the halacha. And since in the first two cases we have, im timtzi lomar, mona v'holech, that's the halacha, that we can add. So case one, where it says, im timtzi lomar, we add. Case two, where it says, im timtzi lomar, we add. Case 3 and 4, there's no im timtzi lomar. The Gemara doesn't tell us in which direction it's going. There remains a suffix. So on a technical plane, the Rambam is beautiful. But the problem is logic. Technically, the Rambam fits very nicely into the syntax of the Gemara, into this klal of the Gaonim that we always pass like an im timtzi lomar. But the problem is that all four cases are dealing with one issue. And the final case is the case that should be, out of the four, the most going towards the world of Mekudesha. And if that case is suffix, l'chora, all the cases are suffix. And if in a case of Vasachas, we can't add half and half, so clearly we can't add half and half, one after the other, we can't add half and half, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, we can't add half and half, one today and one tomorrow, if we can't add the Vasachas, how can we add? That's the Ravid's question. Kosav HaRavid, Amar Avraham, im ze suffix, if the fourth case is a suffix, that you just can't add half and half. Half is always going to be chatzi isha. It doesn't get off the ground. Osan shomala, the first two cases, lama hi mitkadeshet vadai. Why in the world should those cases be mekudosh? Elakulan besafek. That even though the Gemara used the phrase im timtzi lomar, once the Gemara gave the fourth question, then all of the questions remain a suffek. That's the Ravid. So the Ravid, l'chora, from a logical perspective, is very, very powerful. How do we deal with the Ravid? So here, I sent you that we have a Rishon who deals with this. I should just mention that the Rush also rejects the Rambam. The Rush also holds that all four cases are suffix like the Ravid. So we need someone, not who's going to explain the Rush and the Ravid, that's obvious. We need someone who's going to explain the Rambam. And of course, if we have a good explanation for the Rambam, then we're going to need a counter-explanation for the Rush and the Ravid. But we need someone, and that Rishon is the Ran. The problem is, not a problem, just that we're nothing. Right? We're Achroni, Achronim. you know, or it's beneath, etc., etc. And we don't understand sometimes the language of Rishonim. We need an interpreter. So let's read the run, and then we'll read it through two interpreters. One interpreter is, well, firstly, maybe you'll figure out the run. Yeah, the fact that I can understand it, maybe you understand it. But after we read the run, we just have to reinterpret the run in our language. So Rav Elchanan reinterpreted the run, or interpreted the run, and the Rav, at some point in his learning, interpreted the run. The Reichman family is working on putting out the Rav's notes on Kedushin, similar to what Rav Reichman did for Sukkah, Bar Mitzvah, Yevamos, Brachos, etc. And Rav Reichman's son-in-law, many of you know from YU, Yosef Bronstein, is working on it, and there's a rough draft. And so I have a copy of the rough draft. And so, I'll just say over that which the Rav said over here. But let's look at the run first and see if we can figure out what in the world is going on over here. Okay. So in the run, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, he has a paragraph beginning with the words, L'inyan Halacha. In the classic edition, it's on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, and in the edition, the Oz V'Hadar edition, it's on Daf Ches, the second paragraph. L'inyan halacha pasak haRambam zal perek Gimel betarte bayi kamoi haynu chetzech bechatzi pruta chetzech bechatzi pruta chetzech bepruta chetzech bepruta havi mekudeshet gemura mishum damrinan behu im timtzi lomar mona v'holechu, and we paskin like im timtzi lomars. Avo b'chetzich b'pruta hayom b'chetzich b'pruta lemachar u'shnei chetzich b'pruta d'leka b'hu im timtzi lomar salkon b'teku. So there he paskind avi safek mekudeshet v'heishe v'lav harayvid d'shnei chetzich b'pruta, that last case tfei adifa has much more of a reason to say vade mekudeshet mikuhu midekamar b'chad zimna. You don't even have to add between statement and statement, you're adding things that are simultaneous. Vafilu hachi, even though we have the simultaneity, salka b'teku kol shekeni idach ulefikach kosav debekulu habyisafek mekudeshet uledevarav ki binan shnei chetzich bepruta mahu hachi kamrinan im timsilomer bekolhani delo habi mekudeshet. What about this case? But once we say that this case is Eina Mekudeshet Kal V'Chomer, the other cases. So the question is, what do we do with this question of the Ravid? So the Ran says, Uledidi Ein Kushya So Kushya. Why? Mishum D'Liboi Kama, in terms of the first two Abayos, Ika L'Meimar Im Timtzi Lomar Mona V'Holechu, Ma She'en Kein B'Baya Basraisa D'Lo Shayach Bei L'Meimar Mona V'Holechu. That when we're dealing in a situation where there's an incremental increase as we go on, we could speak about adding. When we're speaking about that which is bevas achas, there's no progression. So there we can't use the concept of mona v'holech, the haka amar in one shot, bepruta, v'afilu hachi amar shnei chetzech, alma daite lekadsha lechatzoin, v'ein ishus lechatzoin. Because of mona v'holech, in the fourth case, there mona v'holech, the progression is impossible, and so we fall back on our rule of you can't have chatzi issues. V'yim timtzi lomar klal mishum dekochada ika malyusa v'griyusa. I'm sorry. The Sheikh has bepruta lo shayach im timtzi lomar klal mishum de bekolchada ika ma'ayusa v'griyusa de lo dam yelachaverta. That every one of these cases has pluses and minuses, and we say that in the first two cases the pluses win out, and in the latter two cases the minuses overcome the pluses. What would this mean in our language? Could you help reinterpret what the Ran is saying about griusa and about malyusa and about mona v'holech? while the last case we can't apply mona v'holech, can you reinterpret it in language that would be meaningful to us? Which I think probably is what the Ran meant. I think that after we reinterpret it, we say, oh, that's what he meant. But in terms of our terminology, what are the issues? And just to make life a little bit easier, let's, even though there are four cases, let's deal with case 1, 2, and 4. Because really, the Reiber is asking for case number 4 on case 1, 2. How case 3 fits in, and that will be a second shlav. But we want to say, how can one say, according to the Rambam, the case 1 and 2, where the person divides it, Hare chetzech mekudesh li b'chatzia pruta, v'chetzech b'chatzia pruta, or chetzech b'pruta and chetzech b'pruta, that in those two cases we say she's vade mekudesh because of mona v'holech, but in the last case, in case number 4, shnei chetzech b'pruta, even though it appears that we're adding everything up, certainly, that's asafek mekudesh. Where would we make the dividing line between the suffix, what's the nature of the suffix in the first two cases that we can be machriya, and what's the nature of the suffix in the last case that remains a suffix? So first I'll say out the Rav Elchanan, and then we could read it inside Rav Elchanan. Rav Elchanan has it in the Chibur, and then we'll say out what the Rav says. That according to Rav Elchanan, and I think this is according to the Ram, what he's saying is that the first two sfeikos of the Rambam are sfeikos, what was his kavana? When he said, chetzech bepruta, v'chetzech bepruta, or chetzech b'chatzi pruta, v'chetzech b'chatzi pruta, was he mitkaven to mone v'holech, or was he mitkaven to be a posek? Did he intend to make over here one kinyan, mone v'holech, or did he intend it to remain as two kinyanim? That's our issue. What did he intend? Masha'en Kane, in case number 4, we know what he intended. He intended two kinyanim, shnei chetzech bepruta. He intended to make two kinyanim. The question is whether we are mitzaref those two into one. Namely, that the first two, the question is, what was he miskaving? The question is very, very balabatish. Was he miskaving to one or to two? The question number 4 is not what he was miskaving. We know what he was miskaving. He was miskaving to two. The question is, since he said it to Vasachas, can we be mitzarefit into one? And so, we can have two different answers. In terms of what he was miskaving, we could say he was miskaving from Mona Vaholech. If we want to know what he was miskaving, whenever he says something in a series, Chetzech v'chatzi pruta v'chetzech v'chatzi pruta, Chetzech v'pruta v'chetzech v'pruta, we'll say, that's the Imtim Tzilomar, he was miskaving to Mona Vaholech. He was miskaving to one kinyan. Whenever he's miskaving to one kinyan, there's one kinyan. He's miskaving to one kinyan, he's mekadesh the entire woman. Masha Enkin, when he intended to kinyanim, and the question is whether the halacha can be mitzarif the two kinyanim, whether the fact that he said the two kinyanim bevas achas is mitzarif them, there, the Gemara gives it in the teiku. It's not a question of what he meant, it's a question as we know what he meant. He meant two. The question is whether the way in which he said it can turn it into one. That's a question, that remains a question. Okay? That would be the way the Rambam learned the sugya. The Ravid, on the other hand, learned that in the entire sugya, we know what his kavana was. We know his kavana in the entire sugya was for two kinyanim. The question is whether there's a halacha of mone v'holech. Is there a halacha of mone v'holech? Can bevas achas be mitzaref? That is a suffix. And if bevas achas is a suffix, kavachomer that mone v'holech is a suffix. Namely, that according to the Ravid, there's no question of what he was miskaving. He was miskaving to two kinyanim. The question is as to whether the halacha is mitzarif, the two into one. So if we're not mitzarif, the two into one, bevasachas, kavachomer, we're not mitzarif, the two into one, in a world of mona v'holech. That would be, that's the way Rabbi Chanan learned the issue. We can read it inside. Hinei ha'abayos harishonos ha'ksafeku bekavonas ha'mekadesh. Ma'ashenken the last abaya ha'safek eno bekavonoso ela bedin Torah. Whether the fact that, in other words, that he said it, the moment that he was miskaven for two, whether the din Torah would create one, and that remains a suffix. And the machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid is exactly the Rambam understood a question of kavana, and even in the first two, and the Ravid understood no, he was mechaven to two. The question is what the halacha, and if the halacha is leaves the last case as a suffix, kavachomer the first two. Okay, so you can read it within the Kovet Shiurim. What about case number three, according to Rabbi Chanan? Rabbi Chanan doesn't talk about case number three. Chetzech mekudash hayom v'chetzech mekudash le'machar. But it would appear that here we could be dealing with the other side of the coin. He was mechavein to one kinyan, but maybe the amira turns it into two. Maybe be the mirror image of the fourth case. In the fourth case, he was mechavein to two kinyanim. Maybe the amira of making it one would turn it into one. In the third case, he was miskaven to two, and the question is maybe the amira would turn it into one. He was miskaven to one, and maybe the amira would turn it into two. Okay, in other words, that this is a suffix as to whether the amira can change his kavana. Yeah. Case number one and case number two, according to the Rambam, we have a suffix. What was his kavana? Case number three and case number four, we know what his kavana was. The question is whether the amira can change his kavana. In case number three, he intended to make two kinyanim, but maybe the amira can turn it into... I'm sorry. He intended to make one kinyan, maybe the amira will turn it into two. In the fourth case, he intended to make two kinyanim, maybe the amira will turn it into one. Okay, that would be the way that Rav Elchanan would have set it up. Okay, in the Rav's world, the way the Rav Bronstein quoted the Rav, he took it one step further in terms of conceptualizing. Okay, in other words, that within Rav Elchanan, we're dealing with an issue, or in other words, of kavana and halacha. Within the Rav, we're dealing with two different concepts in the world of halacha. That we have a world of chalos ishus, creating marriage, and we have a world of maase kinyan. The chalos ishus is the tachlis, that's what we want to create. The maase kinyan is the emtsa'i, that's the means to the end. So in the first two abayos, according to the Rambam, he's trying to make one chalos ishus out of two maisa kinyan. Right? He's saying, Hare chetzech mekadesh mekudeshet lebepruta v'chetzech mekudesh lebepruta. He's using two maisa kinyan, or chetzech mekudeshet lebechatzi pruta v'chetzech mekudesh lebechatzi pruta. He's using two maisa kinyan, and he wants to be mitzarifit into one chalos ishus. And the halacha is, we paskin, Im timtzi lomar, mona v'holech. He can be mitzaref, the two ma'asim, into one. Namely, that we're going to have the equivalent of one ma'asa and one chalos. In other words, he actually did, he said that he was doing two ma'asim to create one chalos, and the question is if we can be mitzaref, the two ma'asim, into one. So mona v'holech means that we mitzayif the two ma'asim into one. So we have one ma'aseh and one chalos. When we have shnei chetzech bepruta, the fourth case, here we have one ma'aseh, pruta, and we want to create one chalos out of two half chaloyos. Namely, he is using one ma'aseh, and he is saying chetzech v'chetzech. He wants to create a chalos out of a half and a half. And that remains a suffix. That maybe Odilma ain isha miskadeshus lechatzah in klal. There's no way of ever adding a half and a half in terms of the tachos, in terms of the chalut of an isha. A half and a half is always going to remain a half and a half. On the level of the ma'asa, to turn two ma'asim into one ma'asa, there we have a rule of mona v'holech. You can turn two ma'asim into one ma'asa as long as you have one chalot. But if we have one ma'asa and we want to create a chalot out of a half and a half, that's a suffix. In other words, that in the world of ma'asa, we have a din of tziruf. In the world of chalot, it's a suffix as to whether we have a din of tziruf. That's what's written down in the notes of the Rav. How will we learn the third case? There, it's also in the notes. How do we learn the third case? Chetzech mekudeshet bepruta hayom v'chetzech bepruta le'machar. Here we clearly have two ma'asim, one today and one that's going to be tomorrow. The question is, whether his kavana to create one chalos can be mitzarif the two ma'asim when the amira is machalik between them. Namely, in case number one and case number two, we say the two ma'asim can be turned into one ma'aseh when there is nothing that he says which is going to be soser that which he wants. And he says, chetzech b'chatzi pruta v'chetzech b'chatzi pruta. He wants one chalos out of two ma'asim. So we say we're mitzarei fit into one ma'aseh and one chalos. But when he says, chetzech b'pruta hayom v'chetzech pruta b'machar, he wants one ma'aseh and one chalot, but his manner of speech, his amira, is soser that which he intends. That remains a suffix. Okay, in any case, that the direction of the Rav is more to distinguish between a tziruf on the level of a ma'aseh and a tziruf on the level of a chalos. The direction of Rav Elchanan is to distinguish between a suffix in the world of kavana and a suffix in the world of halacha. Two different approaches. The Rav is sort of taking the world of conceptualization to one level beyond that which Rav Elchanan is dealing with, but it could very well be, again, that both of these can be worked into the language of the Ran in terms of the Griusa and the Ma'ayusa. Yes?
So can I just repeat how the Rav understands the last case? One.
The last case is, he says, Shtei Chetzech Bepruta. Could we have one Ma'aseh? But he wants that the one chalos will be made up of an addition of a half and a half equal the whole. And there the Gemara says, O Dilma, ein ishus l'chatzah in klal. We can't speak about adding a half and a half in the world of the chalos. We can speak about adding a half and a half in the world of ma'asim. We could say two ma'asim or one ma'aseh. But we can't add a half and a half in the world of chalos. That's a suffix. That remains a suffix. O Dilma. Maybe yes, maybe no. That remains a suffix. Okay, let's go back to Daf Zayin Amud Beis. We have Bo'i Rava, one more Abaye of Rava for today. Shtei benosayich l'shnei vanai bipruta mahu. So here we have an issue where we're using one ma'aseh kinyan, a pruta, and we want to create two worlds of ishus. Basar nosein u'mekabil azlinan v'ha'ika mamona. That we're dealing over here with kesef kinyan, and we have kesef kinyan on the level of the nosein and the mekabil. We have pruta. Odilma basar didhu azlinan, but we're dealing with two chalos kedushin v'ha'leka. Teku. This remains a teku. The question over here is twofold. Firstly, we have Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that we have a parallel Gemara in Perek HaShoel. That in Perek HaShoel, we know that there is a halacha that a shoel is chayav ba'onsin. A shaul is chayev amshia, geneva vaveda, and onsin. Why should a shaul be chayev on ones? It's not his fault. As we say, kol hanoa shelo. He's getting all the hanoa without paying for it, so that he has this additional responsibility of no-fault insurance. Even if it's not his fault, he has to pay back. But hanoa generally is defined by a criteria, pruta. A shava pruta's worth of hanoa is a meaningful hanoa. So the question is, what if he is borrowing two cows and is going to get a shava pruta's worth of hanoa out of the borrowing of these two cows? Do we say that he is kol hanoa shelo because we could view these two cows as one she'ela, and he's getting from this one she'ela two a pruta worth of hanoa, namely that we go after the nosein and the mekabel. He's borrowing, we have an owner of two cows, and we have a borrower of two cows, we have one owner, one borrower, and we have a sheva pruta. Or do we say we divide the two cows, it's like he's borrowing two separate cows, and for each cow he's only getting a half a pruta of hanoa? That's not enough to mimchayev him in onsin. That's a shaila in the Gemara on Daf Tzadi Vav Amad Aleph in... It's a shayla in the Gemara of Tzadivava Madalaf and Bab Mitzia. Correct? Is this relevant to our case? I mean, clearly, I have no tennis on Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger was pointing out to you that we have a Gemara of Bab Mitzia of Tzadivava Madalaf with the same language that we have in our Gemara. Basar Nosein Umekabel, Odilma Basar Paros. So here we have Basar Nosein Umekabel, or Dilma. Basar didhu. So we have a very, very parallel language. But is this, can we say that if one of these Gemaras comes to a conclusion that would impact on the other Gemara? Chara, no. Because what's over there, what are we talking about? Well, what's the issue in Baba Metzia? Is it called Hana'a? I would say it's very, in other words, what appears from the Gemara is that it's a question over there of kavana. When you borrow two cows, what is your intent? Are you borrowing the two cows as a unit and you're getting a shabruth, or are you borrowing each cow separately? That's a world of mekach u'memkar. That's a world of choshen mishpat. In choshen mishpat, we have a kone and a makne, we have a mashiel and a shoel. So the question is, whose kavana do you take into account? Whose kavana don't we take into account? But you can have either case. Either of those is feasible. But over here, we can't speak about two marriages in one breath. Right? Clearly, each marriage is separate. Clearly, over here, we have two marriages. The question is, can you create two marriages with one Maisik Kedushin? That's a question. But we can't say we have over here one marriage. Over there, we can say we have one lending. I'm lending two cows. I'm lending you two books. It's one act of lending. And so if I'm lending you two books, right, that my dictionary comes, my Rambam has two volumes, I'm lending you a Rambam. So am I lending you a Rambam, or lending you Rambam Chelok Aleph and Rambam Chelok Beis? That's a question of kavana between the lender and the borrower, and the nafkamina is, will the borrower be chayav? Did he intend to borrow the two as one, or each separately? That's an inyan of kavana. That's a gemara over there. Mashen came by us, clearly we have two marriages. No one in our sugya says that we have a joint marriage of two couples. That, you know, it's even in the days where the Maharishi Swama used to marry 10 couples simultaneously. He would say, you and you, and you and you, and you and you. And they'd all stand together and he'd marry them all in one. But each of them is married to one another, not married to everyone. You're dealing with separate marriages. Of each of these couples. Each of them is an interpersonal relationship. There's a kinyan between. So we're dealing in our Gemara, clearly we have two kedushin. Our question is whether one maisa is enough. That's the question. Can one maisa kedushin create two chalos kedushin? That's the arbaya in our Gemara. Okay, but the question in our Gemara is, we have to define the question in our Gemara is, what is the role over here of the fathers? Shnei benosayach l'shnei banai. We're dealing over here with a father of two sons making a deal with the father of two daughters. What is the role over here of the father? What is the status of the father? Classically, what does Rashi say? He's a shliach. We have two sons who are making their father their shliach, and we have two daughters who are making the father their shliach. Right? That we're dealing with a classic case of, it could have also been Reuven and Shimon make Levi a shliach, and Sarah and Rivka make Miriam a shliach. They don't have to be sons and daughters, just that we have over here two mishalchim and one shliach, and two mishalchim and one shliach. So the question is whether one maisa between the two mishalchim can marry off, between the two shlichim can marry off the two mishalchim. Tosos didn't like that at all. Why not? Because clearly, it won't work. It doesn't get off the ground. Each mishaleach is creating a shliach for his issue. You can't have the shliach do one act for two different mishalchim. Each mishaleach requires his own act. Shnei ben Amari de Mairi, so we must be dealing, I'm sorry, how do we be dealing with shlichos pshita de boi pruta lekolachas? Shliach o adif bi mishalcho. In other words, the shliach can't be better than the mishalcho. We speak about shlichos adam kamoso. Each mishaleach needs his own pruta. You can't have two men holding one coin and handing it over to two women and say, harei aten mikudashot lanu bepruta zo. That's not going to work. So why would the shliach be any better than the mishalcho? What is unique about our case, says Tosfos? We're talking about ketanos, and we're talking about a father. And this brings us back to Daf Gimel Amud Beis. What is the realm of a father, Kedusha Ketana? He's the Baal Dovar. He is the Baal Dovar. So it could be over here, in this case, that he is independent of the two daughters. He is, in other words, that maybe when he receives a pruta for his two daughters, that is considered to be a Maisa Kedushin that we relate to each of them, not Bitor Shlichus, but Bitor Baal Dovar. And then we have to say that the giver is totally out of the picture. And we're not concerned about the two men. That is, in other words, on that plane, we have to reread the Gemara. Basar Mekabel Azlinan, Odilma Basar Didhu Azlinan. Namely, we're only dealing on the level of the girls. On the level of the men, we have over there, you know, there's no connection, there's no din of katan with a father. So there we're dealing with the shliach, but that's not the question. The question is, do we view marriage of two ketanos with one father, that the father is the Baal Dovar and he's receiving the pruta, or each of the daughters is becoming mikudesh and we need two prutot? Yes? But that's the question. In other words, that maybe he is not Baal Dovar for each one means it's a form of shlichus. We're saying no, that he's the mekadesh. He's standing in. Maybe he can stand in for two daughters. Not be din shulchos adam kamoso. There's no mishaleach. There's no separate deal. We're dealing over here with bailus. I own two books, and I'm receiving one penny for the two books. That's all. That they're mamono. They're like his mamon. He has to receive kesef kedusha. It has to be a pruta. He's receiving a kedusha, so he's getting a pruta for both of his books, for both of his tables, for both of his fields. However you want to view it, it's a totally different relationship. Comes along the Rashash and says that if already Tosos wants to go beyond shlichus to a different realm, and we're looking at a realm which would take us beyond shlichus, that would be more powerful than shlichus, and we have in our Gemara, the text of our Gemara is nosein u'mekabel, and Tosis' solution of the father for the two daughters only deals with the mekabel. It doesn't help us with the nosein. Maybe we can go back to a Gemara that we saw only a little bit earlier, which also has forms where one person can act for someone else, but not betor shlichus. What realms were they? Did we speak about? Arev and Eved Kanani. That may Arev and Eved Kanani, the relationship of the Arev to the Lova is not necessarily one of shlichus. It's a question of standing in for him. It's as though he received the money. Or the world of Eved Kanani is not necessarily one of shlichus that the Eved Kanani told, but rather simply the kesef of an acher can serve as as the pidyon of the Eved. We don't need money coming from the Baal. So over here, we can say that maybe the father of the two daughters works bidin Eved Kanani, the father of the two sons works bidin Eved Kanani, the father of the two daughters works bidin Arev, and the combination of Arev and Eved Kanani will create the Kedushin. Namely, that we're not dealing with a world of Shlichus, we're dealing with something which goes beyond Shlichus, but rather than go over to the world of an Av and his Banos, go over to a world where we have a super Kamoso. By Arev, we have a super Kamoto of the Arev being the Lova. In other words, that he accepts the responsibilities of the Lova. It's as though he was the Isha HaMiskadeshes. That in the world of Eved Kanani, we have a super standing in for the Eved, and it was as though he is the Baal. And so over here, between the two of them, we have a Baal and an Isha, between Eved Kanani and Arev, and that would take care of the sons and the daughters. Question is, does it work that way? You know, it's, can we speak about it? If you go back to your notes, in terms of Arev and Eved Kanani, in both of them we had chakiras. So according to, in each of them, a certain form of a chakira can be combined with another form of a chakira to go in the direction of the Rashash. What the Rashash tried to do was explain our Gemara with a framework parallel to Tosos. Since in our Gemara it speaks about Nosein u'mekabel, and according to Tosos, the concept of Nosein is really irrelevant. It's only Mekabel. By bringing in Arev and Eved Kanani, we go back to the Nosein u'mekabel. Okay, we'll stop over here. I'll bring you the Mar Makamos tomorrow morning for the next sugya.